Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of Non-League Keeper, the podcast dedicated to the goalkeepers of non-league football. And we're joined today by the Altrincham goalkeeper, Tony Thompson. Tony, thank you for coming on the podcast.
No worries at all. I'm excited to be here, to be fair. Nice.
Yeah, just talk us through the last 12 months for yourself, because it's been a bit of a bizarre 12 months, not only for everyone, but for Altrincham. You've gone from playing in the National League North to having the season suddenly suspended, being in the playoffs, winning the playoffs, and now you're in the National League. And at the time of recording, you're flying in that division.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, to be fair. So as you say, we were in doubt that the season might have carried on last year, and we were just getting into the swing of things, to be fair, because just before Christmas, I think we were 19. We had a little decent cup run and whatever, but and then we got into our own, and we always have a bit of a blip of a start, and then we always come into our own, to be fair, and you know, and to go into the playoffs and win three games and go up, finish fifth, and then have to play three games, it was crazy, it was mad. So and this season's been unreal. Some travelling, like, to be fair. But it's been class.
We'll go right back to that start of the 12 months. It's roughly about 12 months to the day when this football finished. And I think Altrincham were meant to be at York on the, what's really being called the final Saturday of the non-league season. But then that got called off. So what's your memories of that afternoon and that time?
That was a mad one. Because we were set. So obviously we went into lockdown, I think, that week. And we were set for the game at York. And on the Friday, I don't know whether it was us or a couple of their players or a couple of our players came down with some symptoms. So then that was the last time we really spoke, like, properly about the game. Like, I think the gaffer fell a little bit sick or had a temperature, and it was at the time when everyone was panicking like mad. So it was crazy. So and then it all stopped after that for a little bit. And then obviously we were the lucky ones that got to carry on playing.
And in that time between the York game and then Chester in the playoff eliminator, what was that like? I guess for a lot of the players, you were all up in arms because no one knew whether you were going to be able to play the playoffs, whether we were going to return after a few weeks, or whether it was going to be completely just no one goes up or down and we just start again like the Northern Premier League has back in September when everyone resumed.
Yeah, so it was a crazy one. What I can remember was all the running, and I'm not built for running, I'll tell you now. I was working in Blackburn, and the gaffer was sending us runs each day, like, to do these runs, 5 kilometres, 10 kilometres, and it was like, get in under this time, and it was like, you mad? I can't run. This is the whole reason why I'm a goalkeeper. No, but we just had to keep in shape, and we had a load of Zoom calls. We were having, like, drinks on the weekends, like, Zoom. And the lads stuck together, to be fair. And that's one of the main reasons why we've done so well. Credit to the gaffer and Sorves and Altrincham, to be fair. They've recruited some great lads, do you know what I mean? And to go on to do what we've done was great because, as you say, you play three of the top teams in the space of 3 or 4 weeks. If you was in the season, you'd be happy if you come out with 6 points, 4 points. Do you know what I mean? So it was like we had to go and win all three. And we've done it, to be fair. Credit to the lads.
How important was that team morale, do you reckon, then, for getting promotion, you know, being on Zoom most weekends, having drinks, and how much did that come from Phil Parkinson and Swords?
Yeah, well, it came from all the team, all the lads. To be fair, a couple of the setups was by the lads themselves. You got, like, Sean Willow, you got Densmore, you got the lads that are, like, the senior lads of the group, and it's the glue, really. Jake Malt, do you know what I mean? Josh Hancock, that is the glue. And that's why he's done so well and stuck together. I think one of the Zoom calls, all the lads turned up, and I thought it was fancy dress and had the Spider-Man costume on. But I think I broke the gutter on the house that night, climbing the walls. But yeah, so happy days.
Yeah, and just touching on that first game against Chester, what's your memories of what do you recall of that day? Because obviously a few months beforehand, you're playing in front of fans, and then suddenly it's all behind closed doors. There's limited people, limited like officials, media, no fans in, and just yourself and the opposition.
It was bizarre, and obviously all the restrictions and getting changed in different areas and whatever. It was just, it's just crazy. The whole thing's been crazy. But I think once the whistle goes, you can't. Yeah, it's great when a big tackle or a big. Well, you can't really tackle in the game anymore, I don't think. But so, for instance, big moments of the game, usually the crowd would, just like the 12th man, would get involved. You know what I mean? And we've had that a lot against Chester, to be fair. But, you know, the lads, we set out with a job to do. And, you know, any obstacles that have been put in our way for the last 3 years, I think we've come on out on top, or, you know, we've done ourselves really good justice as a team, as Altrincham. And that says a lot about everyone around the club and the atmosphere the club creates. And we knew Altrincham wanted to be back in the conference. We as lads wanted to push ourselves to the top. So, yeah, it was just one of them things. It just had to be done, and it was a good day. It was a warm day. I remember it being really hot. But it was a good result in the end.
Yeah. And then you move on to that York City game. I think a lot of people made York favourites with being one of the last games at Bovham Crescent and being at home. But people didn't see that Alti were York sort of bogey team, because you've beaten them three times that season by the end of that. So that must have been a fantastic result going up there.
Yeah, well, I think we got them in the FA Cup, the FA Trophy, the league. And every time we played them there, we beat them 1-0, Tom Pearce. He's a great lad. And, you know, we went there with all the confidence. I think we stayed over the night before. Oh, no. We may have done, yeah. I think we stayed over the night before. And, yeah, it's just, we brought some great lads in, your Elliot Durrells and stuff. And, yeah, it was just, I think you've got that feeling. And going into them playoffs, don't know whether it was the team or what the gaffer was doing. It was just that feeling that we were going to do it. And it was just mad. So it was class.
Just touching on that final, the Boston game. How weary was that, as you mentioned, about playing behind closed doors? You don't really notice it. But knowing that you were travelling there and there'll be no supporters getting behind you in what is probably the biggest game of the season.
Well, to be honest, it was a mad build-up to the game. So, for instance, when I was at AFC Fylde, we won the league there at their place. So it was a good feeling going there, because I kind of had the confidence. Then the night before, we stayed in Grantham. And I don't know whether you know, we won the league at Grantham in the Evo Stick. So it was like, it was all good omens in a way. So it was like, this is us. Do you know what I mean? We've got this. And yeah, it was just, but earlier on in the season, we got dick five by them, I think. And it was just one of them ones. Everyone was waiting for the banana skin, but we just knew it was going to happen, I think. Attracted it, to be fair. So, class.
And Peter Crook, the Boston goalkeeper, made a mistake which led to the only goal of the game. How hard is it as a opposition goalkeeper to see the other goalkeeper make a mistake in such a big game, but then it effectively gets Altrincham and your team promoted, which you need?
Yeah, at the time, I didn't even realise what had happened. I had to watch it back, to be fair. And it was like, he's had one, hasn't he? But we're all keepers and we've all been there. So it was like, I felt for him. And he seemed like a really nice guy, to be fair. And I didn't know him personally. But, you know, you put an arm around him and you just don't want it to happen to yourself. So you just got that in the back of your mind, you're gutted for the lad. But, you know, You can't replace getting promoted. You can't beat it.
What was the celebrations like after the game when you lifted the trophy? Because you've seen all playoff games, the team that wins, the fans run on the pitch, celebrate. But obviously you couldn't have that at Boston that afternoon.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was something. It was just so much relief, obviously, like with the year that we were going through, and then obviously not getting the chance to finish the league properly and then getting the opportunity to play the playoffs. It was just like, it was just what football's made of. Fans there or not, we missed them. We did actually miss them. The atmosphere would have been unbelievable. But you're with all your closest mates, your closest teammates. Like, you're traveling all year round with your likes of Willow and Densmore, and you know, and it was just really a sigh of relief, really. And then the night out after that, we got back to Altrincham and all our family and friends were there. We had a few drinks at the club. We couldn't go too mad, but I can't really say where we went afterwards that, because I don't think we were socially distancing. But it was great. It was absolutely great. And, you know, we went out the next day in Manchester, loaded the lads, and just the celebrations went on for a couple of days, to be fair. And maybe a week even, just kept drinking me, to be fair. Back in work on Monday, but I think I had a zinc on me.
And it was handy because it was just as the time when the pubs and what have you were reopening, so you could go out for a drink and celebrate, whereas a few weeks beforehand they weren't open, so you'd have won the game and then headed straight back home, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know. I don't think you would have stopped us. Like, of course we would have. We got the best of the last little bit, as you say. We got to make the most of it, and it was special for what it was, as you say. You're with all your closest friends and family and life. The teammates that you've grafted your balls off all year with, do you know what I mean? So, sorry about my language, by the way. You're not beating getting promoted, honestly. It's great.
And we'll come back to Altrincham later on in the podcast, but just let's go back right back to the start of your career. I believe you started off at Rotherham United. How did that come from, being a Liverpool lad to going up to Rotherham?
To be fair, I was at Bolton as a kid. I was at Liverpool as a young kid, and then just wanted to play football with my friends. My mum pulled me out, and they've never been really pushy, my parents. They've just let me, whatever I'm happy with, they just want me to be happy. So I ended up coming out playing football with my mates, and then I got to an age where I had most of take being like the commitment. So I went to Bolton, and then they said I was too small, so I ended up going to Rotherham, where really, like, had some really great memories there as well. Some promotions as well, obviously. Yeah. I was always in and around the squads and teams, but just never really made my debut. And it was just one of them things. It was mad. I think I got on the bench when I was 17 and was just involved with the first team ever since then.
You talk about height of a goalkeeper, and quite a few of these podcasts we've done so far, people have said that the goalkeeper said they haven't made it because of the height. Is that something that should affect or shouldn't affect a goalkeeper? Say you're not the tallest, but you know you're good with your feet, or you know you're good with your distribution and your reactions.
Yeah, well, that was my whole. I've been working with a psychologist recent, this season gone really well for me, to be honest. But I'm trying to add different golf clubs to my golf bag, you know, and it's just one of them things that I was talking to the psychologist, and I said, like, I've always had a mentality of trying to prove people wrong. And I think I'm not the tallest goalkeeper. But, you know, I think as well, it's an easy cop-out sometimes if you're just on the blink of things, and maybe there is a keeper and he's like, if you're good enough, you're tall enough. But I do believe that we have to prove ourselves a bit more, because you look at myself, you look at other goalkeepers I've worked with. I've worked with some great goalkeepers, and Stephen Drench last year, for example, he weren't the tallest, but my God, I've seen his distribution, seen him as a keeper, and he was a great mentor as well. Really enjoyed working with him. But I think it's tougher in a fact that you've got to prove yourself. So, for instance, with me, I dropped down to the Evo stick to get game time. With Altrincham, obviously, it was a big, big decision for me. Because it was heartbreaking, because I went from a full-time environment to part-time and didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So I started scaffolding and working, obviously, with Parky and the lads. And I haven't looked back. I've always looked forward. And I think that's the main thing about me. I am trying to prove people wrong about my height or their opinion on me. But I believe that I should be playing higher, and I want to be playing higher. And at 26, I'm coming into my years now where I could push for the top level that I can actually go to. And hopefully I'm proving it this year, to be fair. It's been a good season up to now. So hopefully we kick on.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, just been reading some of the reports and following Altrincham's season, and there's always, it always comes up the last few weeks. You see the games, it's always been on Twitter, Tony Thompson with another great save, Tony Thompson with another great save. So you seem to be having a fantastic season in the National League.
Yeah, it's been good. I'm getting tested, really getting tested. Teams are a lot more clinical, and you know, when they're getting one chance maybe in a half or one chance in the second half, and they're either testing me or to be honest, they're putting it in the back of the net. They're really, really clinical. And I think that's why, that's the difference in a full-time environment. You get to work on it every day. But I've always been the same keeper, but I've not had much to do. So, for instance, I've always been known for my distribution. And I'm proud of it. That's one of my proud points. I think it's the modern game and it's the modern GK at the minute. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and I am good with my feet, and I will showboat it a little bit, but, and if I kick one out of play, I'll do it again. It doesn't bother me. Like, you've got to be confident with it. You've got to back yourself. And as I say, I've always been the same keeper, but this year I'm getting tested a lot more, and obviously the opponents that we're coming up against are a lot better. Do you know what I mean? So it's been great. I'm really enjoying it.
Going back to your academy days, is there any players who you played with in your academy days that people will know, whether they've gone into the professional game and done really well or dropped into non-league football like yourself and had a very excellent career?
Yeah, well, there was a few. Some great players I played with when we were younger. The ones that spring to mind are Zach Clough. He was a Forest centre mid. So the Bolton team I was in, it was me in goal. Niall Marr, right back, who's Halifax captain now. And then you got your likes of your Zach Clough, who's a Forest and been around. Who else have we got? Luke Woodland's playing out in Abu Dhabi or somewhere, mad. Like, you got like some great players. One doing really well now, year below me and my YT, was Jerry Yates. He's at Blackpool. Some really good players. I played with some great players on loan as well. And played with Sam Hughes, who went to Leicester from Chester. And yeah, it's just, you know, and they're the type of players you want to surround yourself with, and good on them. They've worked really hard for where they are, and I hope they go and smash it. Because I'm trying my best to anyway.
Certainly, I know there's some great players you've mentioned in there. When you were Rotherham, obviously you mentioned about being on the bench. How did you find out that you were on the bench in the Football League for the first time?
The first time, it was a mad one. Steve Evans was obviously the gaffer. Andy Dibble was the goalkeeping coach, and he was class. Dibbs was unbelievable. He's at Cardiff now, the goalkeeping coach at Cardiff now. I used to do double sessions and that, like try my best to like improve. And this one day, I had to do a double session, and I think one of the keepers got injured in the morning, and then the other one was feeling a bit iffy. So Dibbs was like, tell the gaffer you're ready. I was like, no, not a chance. I was 17, shit in my pants. Like, Dibbs was just winding me up, but like trying to settle, like maybe being on the bench tomorrow, but like just relax, it's all right. Do you know what I mean? So anyways, knocked on the gaffer's door and ran away. So I'm like, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? So the gaffer's come out, Steve Evans, angry man anyway. Do you know what I mean? He's like, the fuck do you want? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, not, and Dibbs was just knocked on the door and ran away. He was just great like that, you know, like a laugh. And he was like, what do you want? And I was like, not on. So Dibbs was like, he's got something to tell you. I was like, no, I haven't. I really haven't. Just absolutely stitched me up. So then Dibbs was like, say it. I was like, no, I'm not saying it. So Dibbs was like, if you need him tomorrow, he's ready. Do you know, like just on the wind up. So I was like, oh no, do you know what I mean? Next minute, gets on the coach the next day. Steve Evans is like, sit on the chair behind me. So like the coaches are set up in fours, the table. So I was like, yeah, right. So usually young lad, 17, you're making the cups of tea and coffees for everyone, especially back in that day. So anyway, everyone's like, right, Tony, get the coffees and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, I was about to like jump up. Steve Evans was like, stay where you are, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, it's crazy, this. So I was like, yeah, sounds. So just whatever he said, I just went. I was fucking shitting my pants. So the next minute, he's pulled us after the game. I travelled, went on the bench. I can't remember who it was against. And then Dibbs was like, what happened there? So the gaffer was like, he's big time. He shouldn't have knocked on my door. I was like, oh my God, that was not me. Please don't ever take that. Do you know what I mean? And Dibs was like, that was Dibs stuck up for me, to be fair to him. But the gaffer, I think, tried to, you know, keep me grounded and not like make out that like it was a big deal. Do you know what I mean? He tried like beating me down, do you know what I mean? Like, so I weren't big time or anything, which now I can understand, but back then it was like half guttering because I never got involved with the lads as much as I should have. But then I ended up going on to be on the bench for a number of games in League Two. We got promoted, and then League One, I went out on loan a lot, and then got promoted into the champ in the playoffs at Wembley. That was unbelievable as well. But yeah, it was a mad one. Steve Evans was a mad cat, to be fair.
That was going to be my next question, what Steve Evans liked to work for, because people have various opinions on him, whether they know him or whether they've come up against him. So for you yourself, what's your opinion of Steve Evans, and what was he like?
Mad, that's all I can say. No, he was good. He was hard work, but I think he liked me from a young age. He put me on the bench every week. He put faith on me. In me and by putting me on the bench, he never ever gave me my debut. But for a man so driven and so determined and so stubborn, it was a good sign that he was put on the bench, because I think while I was there, in the 3 or 4 years that I was there, I think I seen over 100 players come in and go. Do you know what I mean? And he was a tough one, and it's made me the keeper I am now. Do you know what I mean? Even at such a young age without playing, I think I learned a lot from him. The hair dryer treatment was there, definitely. And his first ever day. So he came in and I was like in and around the first team. And like, anyway, he set up this 11v11. I think it was to see what players he had. So I've got a back pass and like absolutely zinged it out to the left back, thinking, oh my God, that looks unbelievable. 17, thinking, that looks confident. I think he'll like it. Zinged it out. Next minute, stop. What the f-? Just went off. Just like, come in my face. And was like, who the fuck do you think you are? He's like, you kick the ball as far as you can. And we'll play in their half. Like, who do you think you are? Thinking you can play like that. I was thinking, that was class. But I absolutely pooed my pants when he done that. Like, and I think, to be fair, again, that was a great change in him, and the lads got round me and just said, like, just ignore me. He was trying to prove a point. So, yeah, he was a mad one.
Yeah, you touched on about getting promotion at Wembley. Were you in the squad that day at Wembley?
No, I was close. I never made the squad. I ended up travelling down on the day. And I was there. I was in the stand and then got on the pitch at the end, and that with another lad, Nicky Walker, and Danny Rowe. We all come through the academy and that, so it was a great day, unbelievable. And I got to have the night out as well, so it's even better. So I had no stress of the game and then just the night out.
And what was it like, the facilities at Wembley? Are best, can you imagine, they're probably some of the best you've been in during your football career.
Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable. I don't even know how we got past all the stewards, to be fair, to get on the pitch. But nah, I had a pass, and yeah, you've never seen anything like it after the game. It was unbelievable. Great lads, great set. That was an unbelievable changing room. You got the likes of Lee Frecklington. The keepers were Adam Collin, Scott Shearer. Yeah, I think it was Adam Collin and Scott Shearer, yeah. And then Dibs, obviously. But them two were like a massive part of my career, to be fair. To be honest, I've just been texting Scott Shearer then. Yeah, so, and Adam Collins smashed it. To be fair, he's done really well for himself. Yeah.
He's at Kettering now, isn't he, Adam Collins, I think?
Yeah, yeah. So he started his own goalkeeping school, and it looks like he's flying off it, but he was always gone. He's a top guy. He's an unbelievable mentor as well when I was working with them. Because he came from non-league. He was at Workington. So then he always mentioned it to me and was like, just go and get your game time, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I don't know, it's low or whatever, you know, where you have the doubt and you want to stay in the pro game. But best thing I ever done was go part-time and get all the games. I've played over 150 games for Altrincham now, so just says a lot, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, especially for a club like Altrincham, they've always had some great goalkeepers. And you mentioned about Adam telling you to go into non-league football. You've had a couple of loan spells at Chelmsford and Southport and Curzon Ashton, I think. So what were they like?
Unreal. I think the first one was I went to Curzon Ashton on loan. And they were the top of the league. I think it was in the Evo stiff. At the time there. And then I ended up getting recalled or went back. Loan just finished. I think they had a keeper and I think he played Hacham. And then went back and then ended up going down the other end of the table and then ended up signing for Ossid Albion on loan with Richard Tracy and that was a boss. He's good for the non-league game. And then I went to and then went back there and then ended up Chelmsford was an unbelievable experience. Good, it was Conference South and it was like good standard, do you know what I mean? You're going down there. I was travelling down on a Thursday morning, get the train down from Sheffield, train Thursday night, stay over till the Saturday and then play and then go back to Sheffield on the Saturday night. Just a class little experience and ended up getting a recall out of that and sitting on the bench in the Championship. So it was like, I'd proved like myself a little bit and then got the just rewards a little bit. Scott Loach, I think, went on loan then somewhere. But yeah, it was great.
Obviously, I'm based in the Northwest. You're based in the Northwest yourself as well. A lot of the podcast guests we've had on so far have been Northern and we're hopefully going to try and go into the Southern teams eventually. So what's the difference like between the Conference North and the Conference South? Is it quite a big difference or is it quite similar?
Quite similar. I do prefer the Conference North. I don't know, it's a little bit more nitty gritty and you get stuck in a little bit more. But don't get me wrong, that loan spell was unreal. Played with some great lads there as well. Do you know what I mean? I played with a lad called Michael Cheek, who's a striker at Braintree now, is it?
No, Bromley.
Bromley. He scored a couple of times against me this season, to be fair. He scored a pen the other day. And he was a class act. A lad called Lee Sawyer, centre mid. I think he was at like Chelsea and I was a kid. So like these are coming from big clubs as well. Do you know what I mean? Christian Smith. He's a Nantwich lad. He's like a crew lad.
Yeah, I've heard him, yeah.
I think he was a crew or Port Vale as a youngster, but he had some left foot on him. But yeah, the players were class. And I enjoyed it down there. It was just the travelling was a bit mad, but I'm travelling now.
Yeah, it's mad, the travelling in the National League. Yeah. And then you mentioned about getting onto the bench in the Championship. What's it like sitting on the bench in the Championship, you know, one league off the Premier League, some massive team names in there. And is it much difference to what you experienced in League One and League Two?
Yeah, well, I didn't, to be honest, I weren't really involved in League One. I was trained with the first team and that, but wasn't really involved. I think I had one game on the bench, Tranmere away. Yeah, and then I ended up going on loan at Southport and that, I think that year. No, that was in the Champ as well that year. But yeah, no, it was unbelievable. Cardiff away, Charlton away. Some unbelievable games. Yeah, you forget about it, to be honest. Yeah, you forget about it. It's class.
And how did you end up joining Morecambe from Rotherham?
I was out of contract at Rotherham. And to be fair to Steve Evans, he just said, look, like, I could give you another deal, but you need to go and get game time. You need to establish yourself. And I was like, fair dues. He didn't want me just sitting there doing nothing. And I ended up signing for Morecambe. I went on like a 4-week trial or something. And then ended up signing. And then made my league debut there. Made my JPT debut there. And then I only signed a 6-month because the money at Morecambe was just tight. Never really had anything. And to be fair to Jim Bentley and Kenny and that, they done really, really well with the budget that they done. Because, you know, I went on much and they said just after New Year, just have no money. So I ended up signing for Chester then in the January.
You touched on Jim Bentley and you mentioned about how well he's done. What was he like to work with? Because, as you say, he's done well with Morecambe. He really kept Morecambe up in the Football League for a good part of a decade there.
Yeah, well, I'm still in touch with Jim. and wow, what a guy. Do you know what I mean? He was just like one of the lads, but then you knew never to cross the line. And, you know, he was another one surrounding himself with the right people. You had your Kev Ellisons, who's an unbelievable guy in the changing room. There was a young lad called Adam McGowan. He's in the Scottish Prem now. And, yeah, it was just a great changing room again. Barry Roach, the goalkeeper. Lee Jones, the goalkeeping coach. It was just like... Jim Bentley, I've got so much respect for him, and I think that's why he does so well. I think there's no fear factor or anything. There's just pure respect for him. If you're not playing well or you're not doing it right, he'll tell you, do you know what I mean? But absolute gentleman, to be fair to him.
Certainly, any time I've seen any post-match interviews he's done, he always comes across that way. And you mentioned a couple of other names there, Kevin Ellison and Barry Roach. What were they like to work with? Because they're really experienced players, as particularly as a younger goalkeeper working with Barry.
He is one of the nicest guys in football, honest to God. Honestly, not a bad thing to say about him. And he made some, for the size of him, he was so agile and made some great saves. And he was good with his feet, to be fair to him. Really good with his feet. And yeah, he was just, you learn every day off these type of people. I've been quite lucky in my career up to now to work with lads that I've worked with. Like, for instance, Rotherham, when I was there, you had your Andy Warrington. He was top guy. He was, like, unreal. Jamie Addison, when I was first there, he works for Sheffield United now, I think, as a coach. And then you've got your likes of your Adam Collin, Scott Shearer. Then you had Reece Taylor coming on loan from Chelsea. And these are all, like, good lads that would, like, take time out to help you in the game, do you know what I mean? Conrad Logan, the polar bear. He was an angry man, but he was quality. He was good. And then towards the end, I didn't really see much of him because I ended up going on loan to Southport. But Emi Martinez came on loan from Arsenal and he was unreal. Like, just watching him was just class, do you know what I mean?
Could you see he was going to make it into being a standout player for Aston Villa even back then? I know obviously you didn't spend much time with him because of your loan spell.
Yeah, I ended up going to Southport on loan and then just like didn't train much. I trained a couple of times with him and oh my God, some side beyond him, by the way. He's class. But yeah, and then went on to work with Barry Roach and then when I signed for like, and then I ended up working with Reece Taylor again. I filed and then you go to Chester with John Wersnoff. These are all like decent experienced keepers, you know what I mean? Then when I signed for Altrincham, the first time round, I was with Tim Deasy and he was just a top bloke. He just supported me, like, massively. Like, I was in competition with him, got into the team and then he was just like, just go and spread your wings. He just, like, supported me, like, really, really backed me. So, it was nice. Yeah. It was nice, like.
How important was it having someone like Tim Deasy back you at Altrincham? Because, obviously, he's an experienced goalkeeper. He's won promotion with Barrow. He's won the FA Trophy with Barrow. And obviously, there's only one person he can play in goal. So how important, as I say, is it for him to be able to back you because you were the number one?
Yeah, well, I've always had that same union. I think I try and implement it as much in my game. If a keeper's playing a boot in front of me, I'll support him 100%. I'll make anything awkward for him because at the end of the day, there's only one person that picks the team and well, there's two people that picked the team, really. Yourself and the gaffer, if you're doing well enough, you're going to... But, yeah, he was great. And I think he thought he was coming to the end of his career anyway, so it was like he was just going to support me as much as he could. And it was nice to be there. It was really nice.
And you mentioned about your Football League debut. What was that like? Because I think you come off the bench for Barry Rowe against Dagenham and Redbridge.
Yeah, okay. Baz Dunner's back. I don't know whether it was first half or second half. I think it might have been the second half. Baz's back went and ends up coming on. It wasn't that long, but didn't concede anyway. Yeah. And if I remember rightly, they had that guy up front and he was like 40 at the time. Can't remember his
name. Jamie Cureton.
Is that the one?
Yeah, I think I found the game. It says Jamie Cureton for Dagenham.
To be fair, I just wish I had a little bit longer. I think played Fleetwood on the weekend after that.
And then obviously you mentioned about going to Chester. What was that like, dropping down into non-league football out of the Football League?
Well, to be fair, it wasn't much different. Chester were like a hybrid. They were like training Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. It was a bit mad, to be fair. But unreal. Like, first season, like, half season in the conference. John Wersnott was their spider. And, you know, he half took the sessions as well, which was nice. Good little coach as well. He's there now, I think, with Jono and Ben. Yeah, so ends up getting in there and coming to the end of the season there. And to be fair, I felt I was going to sign a new contract there, and but they never, like, John Wersnott had signed a 2-year before the year I was there, and they only had a budget for one keeper, I think, and brought another one on loan. John McCarthy was the manager at the time. Great manager.
Obviously, you leave Chester and you go to Fylde in the National League North. What was that like? Because obviously they were full-time, they won the league that year and had the brand new stadium at Mill Farm just opening.
Yeah, it was unreal. Didn't expect it, to be honest. The setup was unreal. When I went on trial there, to be fair, that's another one where I like, had to prove myself. It was a crazy one. I went there on trial and Dave Challenge was just like, I don't know what it was. I just don't know whether he was having me or whatever. But he told me not that I weren't going to get anything, but I used it as fitness. And then we ended up playing Rochdale. And to be fair to Keith Kelly, he called me in the next day and asked if I could go on trial there. So when I ended up telling Chal that like I couldn't. And then that it was just a mad one. So then I went on trial with Rochdale for 2 weeks, I think it was, a week, 2 weeks. And Senny Diang was on trial as well, the QPR keeper. So Josh Lillis was number one. And then it was like me and Senny were like just seeing how it was going to go, see who got a contract on us. So then Keith, like to be fair to him, just called me and said like I wasn't ready. Go away, get games, whatever, do you know what I mean? So that's off to him. I just like took it on the chin, and as you do. And then Senny turned down the contract and signed for QPR. But then I ended up signing a non-contract at Fylde. Chal got me back in, and he had me and a lad called Ed Wilczynski. Reese was number one. And he was kind of messing me and Ed about a little bit. And took me to Alfred and away, I think it was. I weren't even on the bench. Some lad got injured. So then I got on the bench, and then Reese done his back or something, or his knee or something like that, his back. I ended up playing, and then I played 15 games. Was unbeaten, didn't get beat, and then Reese just got back in, like, one of them things. But, yeah, it was a good little time there. It was a mad one. And character building again, I think. And then came into my own at Altrincham, to be fair.
Yeah, and just touching on the your time at Fylde, you went on to win the league. They were blowing everyone away. Could you feel the sense of it was going to happen, Fylde winning the league? Because I think I had said at the time, I think it was about October when they beat Boston 9-2. That was the title pretty much done and dusted. It was going to be Fylde. And if anyone else finishes above Fylde, then that's, you know, they're going to be unbelievable.
No, it was too good to be, like, honestly, it was just too good. The setup, the ground, the lads, do you know what I mean? Again, that was a great set of lads. I've always been involved in a good set of lads, to be fair. You know, you make the most of the changing room. Yeah, you had your Danny Roebuck in the men. Sam Finley was flying. He's a Fleetwood now. Bowen Dixon. You know, we had a top team for the conference. And our team, it was just mad. It was mad.
It was unbelievable. A lot of the players that come from because of the money of David Hayford. What was he like to work with as the owner of AFC Fylde?
Yeah, didn't have much really to do with him, to be honest. No, didn't really see much of him. And good thing sometimes, isn't it? Just concentrate on the football, let the manager do it. But I think, I didn't see much of him.
Did you go to Altrincham? How did that come about, going from Fylde to Altrincham? Because obviously you stepped down the level as Fylde went up to the National League.
I just believed that I needed to just go and play like 100 games, 150 games, whatever. I just needed to go somewhere and play football. And, you know, I needed to sort my life out a little bit. I was getting older. I think it was 22, 23 when I signed for Altrincham. And I just wanted to make a name for myself. It was either make it or break, really. If I dropped down that level, I might have found my level, but I never ever believed that. I always believed that I could play higher. I still believe I can play higher now. But I've just seen the philosophy, the players he was signing, the gaffer, Phil Parkinson. You know, it was, again, it wasn't an evo stick team. I had Jordan Hume signing, James Poole. You know, these are all big, like, non-league players. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, again, it was same again. You got a feeling, and it was just the way it all happened and panned out. It was great. But it hasn't always been plain sailing at Altrincham, to be fair. Gaffer's tested me a few times and brought other keepers in a few times, and you know, and made me the keeper I am now, and made me the person I am now. Do you know what I mean? A lot more mature. It was quite, I'm quite loud and boisterous in the changing room. And I think sometimes gaffers don't really have that, do they? But I had to stick it out, like.
How important is it for a goalkeeper to have, say, like a very good number two coming? Because you've worked with some fantastic names there. Tim Deasy, you've already mentioned. I think you had Elliot Wayne, who's at Farsley. Matt Gould's currently number two there for you. And then a couple of other younger lads who could potentially one day be having a decent career as well.
Winnie was class. And then obviously Tim Deasy's and Gouldie's been unbelievable this season. We were just talking last night, to be fair. He's not complaining that he's not playing, obviously, because sometimes he's pushing me as hard as he can, which is bringing the best out of me. And then obviously not being able to play because maybe I'm doing well, or it's easier to take sometimes. If I was throwing him in every week, I think he'd be knocking on the door. Like, but no, it's great. I think goalkeepers are in a mad position, aren't they? And I think if you got to back yourself, and then hope for the other ones around you to back you as well. Because at the end of the day, we're all in the same position. And then last year, I worked with Stephen Zench, and wow, what a guy. Do you know what I mean? He's a top, top guy, to be fair. Because he came in, like, to be fair, he came in as a number one, had an injury, and then I got back in the team. And then he supported me to the end of the season. And then, again, I'd done well in the playoffs, just missed out, didn't me, at Chorley away. And then me and Steve were back, me and Drenchy were back the next year. And then he ended up suffering a really bad injury, but I made the most of it. And he was unreal in the background again. And I was supporting him as much as I could as well. You know what I mean? So having that number two that isn't a knobhead helps so much. I've never been a number two knobhead, do you know what I mean? Or yeah. Never will be, because just not in people's nature, it's not in my nature, not in the lads that I've worked with nature. So it's been unbelievable, to be fair.
What was the mood like when you joined Altrincham at first? Because they'd been, I think they had double relegation, they'd really slipped down the pecking order in terms of like the football in the area. And then obviously you joined, Phil Parkinson joined, and as you alluded to, the rise has been fantastic.
Unreal, and I think it just says so much about the club. Obviously, they were down in the dumps, you know, when we first joined, and the gaffer signed the right lads, signed, like, as I say, not evo stick players. And to be fair, the football we were playing was unreal. Like, you can watch back on highlights, like, some of the football was class. And then, you know, and when you joined, it wasn't a dour place. It wasn't like, because it's surrounded by unbelievable people, like the old chairman and now president, Graham Rowley. Like, I've never had a relationship with the chairman like I've got one with him. You can phone him daily if you wanted to. And then even his wife and like the family involved, there's a massive like family aura of the place, and it's lovely. You know, we've got these new chairmen coming in now, but it's a young board now, and it's like they've took the reins, and I think it was time for them to take the reins. Graham's involved still, but you know, they've got other aspirations for the club, and I think it's going to go up and up and up. We were talking last night, and not once have we looked back. We're just looking up all the time, looking forward, and that says a lot about the camaraderie of the lads. They're unreal. We go in there and we put a lot of hours in for a part-time team. We got a game on a Tuesday, we'll train Monday night, analyse, we're with each other a lot, and you know, there's no fallings out, there's no There's no dickheads in the changing room. There's no big time. If there was a big time player, I think it gets shut out quite quickly. And that says a lot. That says a lot about the gaffer. Doesn't really have to get involved in the changing room. He can just do his job and hope the lads do our job. You know what I mean? So it's great. Great club.
You mentioned about going up. How far can Altrincham Football Club go with this present team?
There's a lot of talks at the minute. Exciting talks, really exciting talks, positive. And, you know, as I say, it's a young board. They've got the bit between the teeth. They've had investors from Canada, Ireland. And, you know, it gets fed through to us. Not until back. We talk daily. If you wanted to talk to the chairman, one of the directors, you've got our player manager now, Paul. And, you know, you go to him with your problems. And it's, for a part-time club, it's really professional, run really well. And hats off to them. And it's only going to go in the favour. They've got a 10-year plan, and I hope I'm on that. I hope I carry on that journey. It's been an unbelievable four seasons now. And it's like, just don't want to leave. You've got your likes of your Densmores and your Malts, and they've been there 10 years and they haven't left. So why can't I do that? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, but then I've still got individual personal like goals, and I want to test myself at the highest I've ever been. Do you know what I mean? I might have been on the bench in the Championship or League One, but I believe I can play there as well. Do you know what I mean? So I just want to do as well as I can, and hopefully I'm coming into them important years now really, really firing. Do you know what I mean? And it's happening at the minute. It's going really well.
Can that be getting into the Football League with Altrincham?
Yeah, definitely. Look how we've dropped off as a group, as a management team, as a club, we break them up quarterly seasons. And this quarter hasn't been really good. Second quarter we were flying, but this one we've hit a bit of a speed bump, but there's nothing to panic about. And we were right up there. We're mixing it with the big boys now, and we haven't been turned over, we haven't been rolled over. It's just we've just nipped the post. Teams have been a little bit more clinical than us, or you know, full time, and it's hard. You'll have a 10-hour day in work and then go and play against Notts County on a Tuesday night. It's like it's hard graft, but you know, and it says a lot about us to still be able to put up with it.
Just going back to that day at Grantham you mentioned right at the start of the podcast, when you won the league, what was the mood like? Because it was Altrincham getting back into the National League North at the first attempt. Was that vital for the club to bounce straight back up?
Yeah, that was the kickstart. That was a little bit of a kick up the arse. And yeah, the club needed it, definitely. The fans needed it. They'd had a bad, tough 2 years. And obviously, like, I weren't there then, but you speak to your Maltese and your Densmores and they've been there, so they don't want to go back. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was much, much needed, but it was bound to happen, I think, with the players that he signed and the way the season went.
And that return to the National League North, missed out on a whisker in getting back-to-back promotions. What was that season like?
It's guttering. Like, as you say, you don't just... It's... Football isn't straightforward. You don't get relegated twice and bounce back twice straight away. It was always going to be a big, big challenge, but we were up for it and we just missed out. And you know what? Charlie went on to win the playoffs and most probably deserved it, to be fair. But I think we were the better team on the day. We had Josh Hancock sent off. Yeah. And I think that changed the game. And, you know, that's what made the next season so important, and the way we went up even more important. You know, to win three playoff games on the bounce is just like it's hard work. You'd expect 3 points from that in a month if you had three of the top teams in the league. You know what I mean? So, but it is what it is, and I think that's what makes it so special. That just missing out makes you want it even more.
I think you were the form team going into the playoffs. You turned surely over 5-3 a few weeks beforehand. So I guess the mood and the confidence going into those games, particularly going to Chorley, knowing how well you played against them a few weeks beforehand, that you could do it again and beat them and get into that final.
Yeah, it was a mad one. Chorley were always a good team. No, I think they dicked us about four when we played them away. And then we done them at our place. So it was like, you were always into entertaining games, do you know what I mean? And I think the playoff game was even more entertaining. I made a couple of good saves and that, and Matthew was a bit busy as well. Yeah. So, yeah. And he's a top keeper as well, to be fair to him.
Yeah, we've got Matt Irwin coming on there. I think he's going out next week, so as we record this, so about 2 weeks ago. And we were talking about the penalty shootout. What was that like for yourself? Because he saved the first two. You saved the first two as well from Chorley that afternoon.
It was mad. We were looking at each other as if to say, come on then. Do you know what I mean? It was like, it's exciting. But yeah, he made some great saves that day. He made some great pen saves. Like, and he done it in the final as well. So that's off to him. Wasn't the one off. We'd won on pens the night, the Tuesday night before. So we were a bit like momentum was going our way. But, you know, Chorley were really, like, you've seen it in the FA Cup this season. Chorley had a good side. That's off to them, do you know what I mean? And I think they do it the right way as well.
Do you think having that extra season in the National League North that helped you to progress and play how you are playing well this season? Because I know Matt said, like, when they jumped up, it weren't necessarily, you know, they were getting beat every week, but they were losing by the odd goal. The clinicalness weren't there. Whereas with Altrincham, it seems like you've been really clinical this season, like especially like last couple of weeks, going in the last minute or so with Josh Hancock.
Yeah, we were saying, I think if we played second half, we'd be top of the league. First half lets us down every game. And, you know, it's just one of them mental, I know, we can't put our finger on it, but credit to the lads, credit to us. We've been going to, as you say, Hanks has been scoring in the 90th minute, 89th. We actually done all the stats on it last night with the gaffer. We done a little bit of work on it last night, and it's interesting to see. I wish we could just play second half and do points per second half. No, but it's just, yeah, I think the teams are a lot more clinical. You've got seasoned, long pros. Like, Mayday, I said to the gaffer, the interesting thing is, like, you get some pros at the end of the game in this league, and, you know, we're young, and I feel as I'm coming into my game while some lads might be coming out of it. And hopefully that just spurs me on that little bit more and I can go further in my career.
What's Phil Parkinson like to work with? I know we've touched on bits and bobs of him, but from when I worked with him, he was a fantastic manager and one who could potentially be a Football League manager, if not with Altrincham, certainly with someone else.
Yeah, he must be getting sniffs. His philosophy is great. And, you know, he puts the hours in. He really does put the hours in, and he takes the hours out of us, I think, as well. So it is tiring at times, and it is a lot to take in. But, you know, you get what you put into the game, and credit where credit's due. He's smashed it. He's surrounded by great, great staff. You've got your Neil Sorwell, his sessions are great. I think he's a better coach than the gaffer, but I don't think he'd want to hear that, Phil. Like, but no, Neil's the brains, and like, his sessions are class. And, you know, Phil's recruited the right players. He's pushed us on in the right ways. He's, you know, he's got everything he can out of us, and, you know, he's made me the keeper I am today. And it, like, we've had, I had him playing Salem with him. He's given me tough times. I've given him tough times, and, you know, it says a lot about, he's given me the armband at times when Malty hasn't played this season. And that just shows how much he thinks of me now. And, you know, and hopefully the same with Altrincham Football as a football club. You, as a keeper, you're always under the spotlight. Things aren't going well. It's usually, oh, we need a new keeper. It's like, you know, I haven't done anything, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's such a tough position. And obviously, lads listening to the podcast, the most lovely keepers, you've got keepers on. And it's sometimes it can be a lonely position. You make one mistake, it's a goal. You try and ping it to the left back and it goes over his head for a throw. And it's like, oh, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, and then I'll get it again and I'll do it again. And he's like, why is he doing it again? Fans are like, why are you doing it again? But that's you've got to have confidence. You've got to, if you don't back yourself, no one will. I try to implement that as much as I can in my game, and Phil's got that out of me because he's given me the freedom to play the way we do. I might pass it to someone to give it away and it's a goal, but you know, I'll do it again. Filed away earlier on in the season. Passed one to Darren Potter on the edge of the box and didn't go as well as we should have done, and ended up in the back of the net. But Gaffer come to me and was like, would you do it again? I was like, yeah, I'd pass him it again. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I'd most obviously say bounce or different little outcomes. Or, and you know, that's the risk with playing out from the back, and he gives you that freedom to do that. And to be fair, it's brought the best out of me, even if I do kick it over people's heads sometimes. But you know what? Who gives a shit? I'll do it again. And you've got to have that little bit of confidence that, you know, I'll get it right 9 times out of 10. I might get one wrong, but so what? Like, let's just go and enjoy football. And yeah, let's just, you've got to practice to make perfect. Do you know what I mean? And if you don't keep doing it, if I'd just done one and my ass fell out and then just boomed it every other time, be a different story, wouldn't it? But that's what makes me the keeper I am today.
Just talk to us about Portsmouth away in the FA Cup. What was that like as an experience?
What a day. Again, gutted him though, last kick of the game. Yeah, the lads stood up well, you know. We went toe-to-toe with the League One team for like a good 90 minutes, do you know what I mean? And he just pipped it at the end. I'm not going to say Josh Hancock was his man runner, but he just got the pencil, I'll let him off. No, we went toe-to-toe and you know what, it was an absolute amazing day, but just, it would have been more special if we won.
I guess you travelled down the Friday or the Thursday before to prepare, because it's quite a distance from Greater Manchester, Cheshire to Portsmouth down on the south coast.
Yeah, it was great. It was even better. I obviously work, so I have to get off work early on the Friday. So I had to fill a form in. And you say the reason why. Do you know what I mean? So it was like, why early on a Friday? So I had to put playing in the FA Cup tomorrow. I thought I was taking the piss. But no, it was great. And then the travelling down, we stayed in a hotel, and really nice hotel as well. And then, yeah, and everything happened the next day. But yeah, never. I think I threw up before the game as well. You know, don't tell anyone that. But
what was Fratton Park like to play at? Because it's a fantastic old football stadium.
Unreal. My mum, missus and my dad travelled on the day. So it was like more special to have them there as well. But I don't think there was as many as I expected there. Still like a good crowd, but I think even their fans come away saying like there should have been more there. Like we fucking give them a right game, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it was class. We had some of their fans waiting after the game to tell us how well we'd done in that. So it was nice.
Yeah.
Nice life.
What's that like for as a player? You're leaving the pitch, you're leaving the stadium and the opposition fans are coming over to congratulate you and say how well you'd played.
Oh, it was lovely, really nice. Obviously, you don't appreciate it on the night maybe because you're a bit like gutted, but no, it was really nice and I had some nice messages on Twitter and then afterwards as well. But none off their gaffer saying, do you want to come down? No, it was class. It was class.
What was the coach journey like? Because obviously you'd been beaten, but you'd played really well. And I know when we do these podcasts, we always talk about the coach journey after a victory. So was it quite subdued because you'd been beaten, or was it, quite upbeat that you'd performed really well?
I ended up, because me missus had drove down with my mum and dad in the car, I ended up staying down in Portsmouth that night, taking my mum, dad and missus out for some food. So I didn't get to experience the coach, which was a bit gutted. I didn't think it through really, but they drove a long way. So paid for a nice hotel and we stayed down and then I took them out for some tea and that, so it was nice just to say thanks for coming really.
I watched the area like around Portsmouth because it's somewhere I've always wanted to go but not actually been able to get to as yet.
Lovely, really nice, it was good. It was cold obviously because it was winter at the time, but yeah, it was class, it was nice.
Yeah, I think, was the game shown on TV? I can't remember.
No, should have been though, it was a right game.
It should have been, yeah. Because I remember advocating at the time on social media saying this game needs to be shown because Altrincham had been doing well the last couple of years at Portsmouth, former FA Cup winners, but ended up not showing it and they missed out on the cracker, as you say.
And I think at the time, I think we were 19th or something in the league. Ended up going on to get promoted, obviously, but it's crazy.
And what does the future hold for yourself?
I'm really, really like determined to try and move forward with my football career. I want to do as much as I can. I want to play as much as I can. And, you know, with work, it's tough. So I'd love to get the opportunity to go full-time, hybrid, you know. But, yeah, I think there's a lot more to come from me, myself. I think I can play higher, and I've got the confidence at the minute to go higher. And hopefully it's with Altrincham or whatever, do you know what I mean? I just want to kick on. I want to test myself as much as I can.
Can you go full time with Altrincham, do you think? I think there's rumours. I was watching something on Northwest Tonight the other week with Richard Askerman. He said, I think he mentioned in his report there was rumours or it was being discussed about going full time in the boardroom.
There's talks of hybrid and, like, yeah, them sorts of transitions. It's got to happen. It's a full time league we're playing in now. 79% of the teams in the league are full time. You know, and it's tough. It really is tough. Like, for instance, Woking Tuesday, I got up at 5:30, went to work till 1, travelled to Woking in Surrey, played till 10:30, and got home at 3:30, and then I was back in work the next morning. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, how are you meant to get 100% out of yourself if you're shattered? Do you know what I mean? I'm going to go to bed after this podcast, I think. But I've bored myself to sleep now. but it's tiring. And then you're testing yourself Chesterfield at home the other week. Been in work 10 hours and then go to Altrincham and play Chesterfield with a full-time outfit. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and they're running ragged. It's like, wow, what's going on here? Give us a break for a minute.
You mentioned about going full-time. Do you think that's important for clubs, particularly if they're stepping up to try and move full-time in the National League, particularly if they're never going to sustain themselves up there and try and push on?
I don't know. I think sometimes that might be like why Altrincham have been a bit of a yo-yo team, and no disrespect to the previous, do you know what I mean? But, you know, it's getting talked about. Like, there's a lot going into it. You know, you've got to have the finances to do it. You've got to have the players that can do it, the commitments, the players. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's a lot. It's a lot to ask sometimes, especially with people with careers, families, buying houses, whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's a lot to ask. And sometimes you've got to have that transition and you've got to have that respect to the players sometimes. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think it will happen at Altrincham because they are really, really going for it as a club. And it's amazing to see and be involved in and see what happens. But it's exciting times, definitely exciting times.
Certainly is. And we end these podcasts with last few questions, a bit like a teammates on Soccer AM. So the first one is, who's the best player you've played with against, whether that be technically or just, you know, someone who was really gifted and always committed to the game?
That's a tough one, that. James Poole was unreal, non-league. He'd done some stuff. No, who else? Max Harrop. Like, he done some mad skills, like mad stuff. But then he was just an absolute bomb boss. He was mad. But he was great. He was great to play with. Best player I've played with? Couldn't even tell you. He was on the bench for Rotherham against Edgar Davids when he took over. What team did he manage? Barnet, yeah. There, they had to call him Sir on the pitch. It was mad.
What was that like as an experience coming up against Edgar Davids, even just watching him from the touchline on the subs bench?
Just watching was mad. It was crazy. It was just mad to see. Took it on in a stride. It was just, I don't think he broke a sweat, I don't think.
I don't think it would at least to having played some of his games, particularly like in the Champions League. Just moving on, what goalkeeper do you model yourself on like when you were younger?
Can you tell? No. I didn't choose this preceding airline, you know, Pepe Reina. No, I grew up watching Liverpool, obviously Liverpool lad. I support Everton, but yeah, Pepe Reina. I feel like I'm built similar to him. little stocky ball fella.
Knocked him out with then the old Everton goalkeeper.
No, he was class as well. He was a good keeper. No, Pepe brought the side B in, didn't he?
Why did you start out as a goalkeeper then? Why not, like, say, a striker or a midfielder?
I think I was a little bit, like, obviously I'm not tall now, but I was a bit of a big baby. I started playing, like, just, like, on the local field at, like, 4, but, like, for an under-6 team or something. And I think they just used to just throw me in goal because I was a bit clumsy, do you know what I mean? And then wanted to play out all my life. Still want to play out now. I reckon I could do a job, like, definitely do a job. But, nah, I always ended up in goal somehow. I think it's just always because I was first through a puddle or, like, just throwing myself everywhere, do you know what I mean? A little bit brave, to be fair. So I used to have to get changed on the front step. Mum wouldn't let me in the house. Get down to me bills on the front step because she wouldn't let me in because it was full of shite. The good old days.
What's been your best moment in your football career then?
The promotions have got to be with Alti. Signing your first pro contract's nice and that, but, you know, getting that kick out of actually getting a medal and a trophy, and, you know, it's a massive achievement, and it's a nice outcome as well when you've worked so hard in a season. Yeah, so definitely the last promotion to the conference, therefore.
And just finally, what advice would you give to any younger goalkeeper listening to this who wants to get involved in the game as a goalkeeper?
Play as much as you can and enjoy it. Not on beats, playing time. You can train all you want. You can be a training keeper if you wanted to, but you're never going to improve unless you play football. Just go and enjoy it as well. Too many now is, like, and I done it the same. I wish that I wasn't as got worked up about it, but just enjoy playing football. And especially after the pandemic, when lads haven't been able to play. Luckily enough, I've been the lucky one that's been able to play football, but imagine life with no football, you'd be gutted.
Certainly will be. I cover Northern Premier League and we haven't had a game since December, so it's literally been restricted to watching it on the TV, particularly with BT Sport and the National League. So it must be good having that coverage and being featured on the television.
Definitely, yeah. We had Notts County, didn't we, early on BT, and it was some experience playing there as well. They had a championship set up, then a sort of League One set up. It was class. And, you know, again, we stood up tall to them. Ended up getting beat 3-1, I think. Saved the pen in the first half. But it was some experience. And it's nice being on the telly. Yeah. Show me my nephews are made up and that. So little stuff like that, like, goes a long way.
Okay, Tony, thank you for your time. We've done a good hour recording, so thank you for coming on the podcast.
No, thanks a lot for having me. And any help you need or that, whatever, I'll be done that, do you know what I mean? And whatever, but it's been class and it's nice to have a keeper one as well.
Yeah, certainly. As I know, when I started playing the game, when I was a youngster, I was in goal and there was nothing, obviously there was no social media back then, but there was nothing like for goalkeepers to listen to. So it's important to have something to try and help develop them.
Definitely, definitely. And it's a great idea. I've enjoyed the previous ones as well. Shents and that.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much, as I said, Tony, for coming on. And if you'd like to follow this podcast, guys, you can follow us on Twitter at NonLeagueKeeper. That's NonLeagueKeeper. But for now, thank you very much for listening.